What does it mean that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, the greater Moses, and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies? The New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. It's written by regular guest Dr. John Kleinig. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your pastor would deeply appreciate the New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews, 1-800-325-3040. You can read a story about this every single day. It's called an epidemic. I don't know if we should refer to it as an epidemic. I'm more concerned about what is causing it. Heroin used to be considered, of all the drugs that were out there, one of the most dangerous. Then came crack and crystal meth. But heroin seems to be the one that has the staying power. We heard about the opiate crisis. And what they're really talking about is heroin addiction, from the local housewife to the junkie who is sleeping on a cardboard mattress. What's causing it? And why is it afflicting our inner cities to the degree that it is? Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Monday, we're going to be talking about the heroin addiction in the inner city. Pastor Rob Kieslowski joins us. He's Executive Director of Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries. Pastor Kieslowski, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
When lawmakers and policymakers think about the opiate problem in the United States, they think about supply and demand and interdiction and law enforcement, all those kinds of things, and rightfully so. When you, as an inner city pastor, think about the heroin problem, what do you think about?
Yeah, I think that as a pastor, one needs to begin discussing the role of humility. Far too often, we want to just put Band-Aids on these gaping wounds. The whole language of disease and epidemic, I think we need to revisit it. And lawmakers have to operate on a macro level, but as a pastor, interacting with individuals on a one-on-one basis, I think we need to back up some and see some of our values as a culture and the impact that they're having on people down the road. Because once people are in the grip of addiction, it is a very, very hard thing.
You talk about just generations of really kind of aimlessness, hopelessness. What are you talking about there?
Yeah, abandonment of historic Christianity, a desire to just live for oneself. The individual turned in on themselves brings about a great deal of despair, and that ends up being the bedrock that leads to addiction. And so, you know, calling people to return to the truth of our Lord's message of living a selfless life based on the grace that he bestows in holy baptism, the strength that comes from his body and blood in the sacrament, is the foundation that we need to build on and draw people away from the lies of the world that have taken over, especially in our cities.
So paint a picture, if you would, of what you actually see with respect to heroin addiction in your particular sphere.
I've been in Philadelphia now for 5 years. It's a massive city, 1.5 million people, population about the same of South and North Dakota combined. And so while the city has incredible struggles and sin, it also has incredible beauty and things that are very encouraging. And so it really depends on where you go in the city. We have had experience working with folks suffering from addiction, opioid addiction. We had somebody overdose in a church basement at a location where we were doing ministry. And it was really a matter of absolute despair. It was a person that we were trying to work with to get on his feet and find employment and be productive. And like I said, in the last couple of months, actually, Philadelphia has lost two very high-profile drug counselors, individuals who had gotten clean and were attempting to help others. And it just reminds us of just how broken we are. And even when people think that they have reached sobriety, people fall back into it so quickly. It's so disheartening. And the world, you know, would tell the church that we need to set up safe injection sites, you know, these very surfacey kind of treatment. There's an option right now, a medication that can bring somebody out of an overdose, Narcan. And I am convinced that the church needs to back up and establish a presence with the gospel, that people are hearing the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. The world will never tell us to preach Christ crucified, but the thing the church can offer, the thing that's unique, everyone else can do these other approaches. And I'm not saying that there isn't value or wisdom in trying to address things as addiction gets out of hand, but you know, as a pastor thinking through these issues, the church's unique contribution is to teach and preach, to bring people into the fellowship of Christ, hear his word, receive his gifts, and build generation after generation. I think that's, you know, that's the biggest thing. We just want quick fixes. We want things taken care of, and we can move on to the next crisis. But this is something way bigger.
These are probably growing in popularity, safe injection centers. Basically, they're trying to mitigate the kind of attendant circumstances that come with heroin addiction. And, you know, say, let's give them a clean place. Let's give them a place that isn't covered, you know, the floor isn't covered with used needles. It isn't also a den of prostitution or of whatever else. Why? That seems very well intentioned. Why is that going to ultimately fail as a solution?
Yeah, there was an article on the Washington Post website 2 days ago about the opioid crisis throughout the country. Really, it's not something unique to our cities. You know, I think it's a terrible idea to set up these sites. The area of the city of Philadelphia that's suffering under this crisis the most, it's almost a colony of drug users, and it's a spot right off the subway line. And so folks are coming in from across the region. The Philadelphia area is about 6 million people. And if you go down and spend time, as the national media has done this summer, and in the midst of these folks that are just getting high every day, I mean, you can buy heroin for $5 on the streets, open air trade. And it's just going to compound on itself if we approach the situation, you know, accepting it. I think to fight against it and to put up the horrors of what this leads to. And the interviews that have taken place in the media, the folks suffering under addiction, they know they're dying. They know it's just a matter of time before they take a dose that's too much. And they're finding that more and more this Narcan product that can bring somebody out of an overdose, they're having to issue more and more of it, because, you know, if somebody has reached a point of despair where they care not to live, you know, we're not going to be able to keep them alive indefinitely if they are, you know, on this path. I mean, we as a church, we need to stand apart and say that there's something better. You know, we need to speak with a crystal clear voice. And more often than not, these measures, as well-meaning as they may be, in the end, will not serve us and society well.
Should we, in the church, given what you just said there, should we think of this, or at least part of the solution is to think of it in terms of self-destruction, or slow-motion suicide? Because that's certainly how a lot of heroin addicts themselves see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rooted in a lack of hope. It's rooted in despair. What brings a person to this point? You know, recently there have been studies, the CDC has published something recently linking a horrible childhood experience and the propensity to addiction, to self-harm, to suicide, where children who are neglected, who are abused emotionally, sexually, physically, are set in this direction. I have fellow pastors that speak of individuals that they've worked with suffering from addiction that, you know, they smoked marijuana with their grandparents after getting picked up from kindergarten. this is just how compounding generation after generation the problem is in our society. And as a church, we just desperately need, you know, the gospel goes forth from our pulpits, from our altars. We need to be convinced of that. And we have to build alternative families. The congregation becomes a family, the family of God to these people, to folks who haven't been given a proper family. That takes intentional congregations that are thriving and sacrificial and mindful of the least among us, you know. But part of it too then is having churches in the city, in the heart, in the midst of where there are so many people.
You appreciated a column written by an Issues Etc. regular guest, Rod Dreher of the American Conservative, once a church, now a junkie barn. What did you appreciate about that column?
Yeah, he goes on, the basic foundation of his article is the recent news that this really kind of colony of heroin addicts in the city has been pushed around to different sections of one neighborhood in the city, and they took up residence in an abandoned Roman Catholic church, which was a magnificent structure at one time, but had been sold several years ago and pretty much abandoned. And some of the images that have come out of that site and were published actually a week ago in our Philadelphia Inquirer just show these strung out drug addicts in the midst of a beautiful, albeit rundown, sanctuary. And he powerfully talks about the societal effect. Where is all this coming from? And he very articulately at the end of his article, he concludes that the reality is we've denied our Creator. He uses language to the effect of we've rejected the weaver of the web, and we just expect the web to reweave itself on its own. But there is no hope in terms of our society and our well-being as a people and a community when we just absolutely reject the reality that we are created beings. When we have a Creator who has spoken clearly to us, who has sent His Son to die in our place, to bring about forgiveness, to give hope, to give meaning to life, to strengthen us, to be good fathers and mothers, to care for our children sacrificially. And I thought it was really profound the way that he interacted with that situation, which is just, it's heartbreaking.
Pastor Rob Kieslowski is our guest. We're talking about heroin addiction in this inner city. Is there a common cause in the inner city of heroin addiction and the decline of churches? We'll answer that question after this.
This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to say that not only has Jesus died, but He's died for you. It's not only that He's risen, but He's risen for you. He isn't ascended into heaven just in some sort of abstraction, but He's ascended into heaven for you, to intercede for you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And that work of the Holy Spirit to press the events of the gospel, of the work of God, into our own hearts and into our own ears and into our own conscience comes through fantastically with those words for you.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for the for you of Christianity at our Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has got you covered. Check out the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer, $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about heroin addiction in the inner city. Pastor Rob Kieslowski is our guest, Executive Director of Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries. Pastor Kieslowski, is there a common cause, not a cause and effect, but a common cause for both the increased heroin addiction in the inner city and the decline of churches in the inner city?
Yeah, definitely not unrelated. Our cities have struggled mightily over the last 50 or 60 years, really in part because of American dependence on the automobile and being able to travel for work. And so the dynamic of our cities have changed considerably. Sadly, in America, especially the Northeast, cities have been kind of a haven for deviant behavior, kind of colonized by various groups that, societally would not be embraced in other parts of, the country, community out in the suburbs. And as the church's presence has diminished, I operate from an incredibly micro perspective. My father is a large part of the reason why I'm a pastor. But he was just a faithful layman who took a special interest in people that were in great need and really was a pattern for me in terms of, the church has a tendency to want these big flashy programs, stuff that we can publicize and show to the world that we're valuable and needed. But I think where the gospel really goes forth in our communities is by individuals, by families. My dad and mom adopted 4 children. My dad had a special relationship with a man that was very emotionally, intellectually disabled, that no one else in town would talk to. But my dad would pick him up and take him to church. My prayer and hope for the city of Philadelphia as we seek to establish a new congregation is that the congregation would be made up of people that would go out of their way to help individually people who are in need. And I think in days of old, I wasn't there in the golden age of Christianity in our cities. I do understand that the Salvation Army got started because poor people weren't welcome in churches. But I like to think that at least in some part, the gospel influenced people to be active in their neighborhoods, to get to know the man that you walk by every day sitting on the corner, who you might think is addicted to drugs, but once you start talking to him, you realize, yeah, things aren't great, but he does actually work. He's not high. He just doesn't have a place to live, and it's hot out, and he's trying to just catch the breeze and get out of the sun. We need Christians that are that intentional. I think when the churches are not there, when they've been torn down, when they've been turned into condos, right out the front of my home in the city is one of the most beautiful Roman Catholic churches in the entire city. And it's completely empty on Sunday morning. It has been for 20 years. And so it would seem like the church as a whole should make a priority to be where the most people are and where there are least amount of churches. And I think the tide is changing. People are moving back into our cities, back into the heart of the city. The temptation to drive an hour one way to work has run its course. I have no interest in doing that whatsoever. And yet churches that preach the gospel and have a commitment to the scriptures and historic Christianity are very far and few between, especially in Philadelphia.
A couple last questions for you. There are those, we've talked about kind of the typical approaches to the opiate problem, which are focused on law enforcement and things like that. There are also those who would say, well, look, if we just remove the stigma, legal and otherwise, from these substances, then we wouldn't find this kind of addiction rampant in our populations. What would you say to someone who says the solution is legalization?
Yeah, I don't think that's a solution at all. It's a capitulation, just kind of accepting the new reality. It's not gonna help anybody to normalize this and make it so that anybody at any point can reach for this. I mean, everybody struggles with despair. You know, human life is full of immense challenges and difficulty. And I think it's an incredibly good thing that people can't go to the convenience store and out of a vending machine get a hit of heroin. You know, that's absurd. I get it that people don't want to pour the resources into holding this back, but to just unleash it on society is utter foolishness. I mean, my dear wife, we have four daughters, and each birth was through C-section. And, you know, part of this the problem is the doctors administering, prescribing painkillers, these pills. And my wife, I think very wisely, tried to utilize the pain medication as little as possible, so much so that by the second or third pregnancy, she was just doing Motrin and trying to treat the pain otherwise. And so I think in some ways, if we want to see the results of just kind of legalization, I mean, the medical industry is come under attack by how much they just overprescribe these painkillers, and how with so many painkiller pills around, people have been abusing them at parties, mixing them with other drugs that have kind of led to this. For that to be even more accessible is a terrible idea, especially among the youth that are given to huge swings of emotion and you know, highs and lows, and we need to make it as hard to get as possible.
I guess just a personal question, Pastor Kielowski, why do you do it? Wouldn't it be a lot easier to serve in a more affluent, wealthier, suburbanite congregation?
Yeah, I sometimes wonder what's different. I didn't grow up Lutheran. I grew up Baptist. And the Lutheran tradition to me is something, you know, intensely personal. I also met my wife in Philadelphia in college. We're raising four daughters in the city with a catechism, the small catechism being just an incredible gift in bestowing the faith at a very early age in the life of our children. And there's just an incredible need here in Philadelphia. I know the city pretty well, and I can see just an incredible vacuum of historic Christianity, a Christianity that takes the scriptures seriously, the message of our Lord crucified for our sins, beautiful liturgy and hymnody. I'm convinced that given enough time, a new congregation, the first ever LCMS congregation in the heart of Philadelphia, can take root and be a wonderful thing. I can't promise that we're going to change the city for Christ. That's in His hands. But it's a wonderful task. It's a joy to be about it. It's exciting. We have the help of a vicar, one that just finished up this week, and a new one coming in, where I get to actually kind of train men to be interested in the city, to serve in the city, to reach out. And I think the Lord has just kind of put it in my passion and my family's passion that the city is a place worth being. It's really quite incredible in many other ways. We actually do love living in the city. It's got incredible benefits, but one thing it desperately needs is Jesus Christ and Him proclaimed for sinners. And so it's just, it's who I am and what the Lord has done for me. So, but it's very exciting, and it's a tremendous joy. I'm not sure I'd have the same level of satisfaction elsewhere, to be honest with you. So I enjoy a challenge. I enjoy figuring things out. And I really enjoy hearing people confess their sins. I enjoy forgiving them their sins and telling them about what our Lord has accomplished on their behalf.
Folks, you can find out more about Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Rob Kieselowski is Executive Director of Philadelphia Lutheran Ministries. Keep up the good work, Rob. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the parable of the weeds. It's that parable where they find in a field of wheat, weeds have also been sown by the enemy, and yet the injunction goes out not to pull up the weeds, but to wait for the harvest. We'll find out what that means for us and for the Day of Judgment when we talk with Dr. Carl Fikencher tomorrow. We'll also have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Achan's sin in Joshua 7. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon.
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.